shove it.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Take This Pod and Shove It, the podcast where comedians and country fans build the ultimate country music playlist one song at a time. I'm one of your hosts. My name, Tyler Snodgrass. Joining me, as always, is my co-host. Today on Take This Pod and Shove It, we are covering the artist Sierra Farrell. My co-host is always chased by feral dogs. It's Danny Maupin. Hey, Danny.
It's true. It is true, though. It's weird. And I was chased by a dog like 3 days ago. I swear. And it hasn't happened in months. You know, and so, which is crazy. I thought maybe I had gotten rid of the curse or something.
You still smell and or look like a hot dog. So these dogs,
that's true.
They're going to run after you.
They see the beef on me. They know what they're going after. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, for any size dog, I guess the easiest way to bite me would be either ankles or ass. And they probably mm-hmm. just see that ass. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's good meat there.
That juicy, plump rump roast you've got.
Right. But anyway, enough about my ass. Hello, shovelos, you shove heads. Enough about me being chased by dogs, you shover boat gliders, you shove boat riders. Shove me in the river for money. I get chased by dogs, and I would like for someone to help me stop that because I'm scared. I'm Danny Maupin.
I'm glad you're okay, Danny. As always, it's a pleasure to get a life update.
I always outrun them somehow.
I've wondered how you managed to escape these dogs, and I guess it's just pure speed, pure moxie. Well,
it's a lot of speed. It's a lot of thinking like a dog. It's like, oh, hey, but like having human abilities. It's like, well, I can hop that fence, but the dog can't hop that fence. You know what I mean? And... or, you know, that's like we joked around on the Amy Miller episode live in Trinidad, is that uh-huh. like I just run into a place that says no dogs allowed.
And the dogs, so, as law-abiding citizens.
They're like, well, shit. Yeah, well, I don't want to get a ticket.
You got me. It's like that episode of King of the Hill where he's trying to outrun the pimp and he's in his truck.
Oh, yeah.
And he stops at a red light. Or he stops at a green light, and then right when it turns red, he drives off, and the guy chasing him runs the red, and Hank's like, what? You can't run a red?
Like, yeah, yeah. He's like so sweet and honest. You can't run a red. And the pimp, yeah. I believe, was voiced by Snoop Dogg in that episode.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been watching a lot of The King of the Hill recently.
As you always should be.
Yeah, it's like my lullaby. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen this episode, but it's going to stream mm-hmm. for 6 hours until my TV automatically turns off.
Yeah, right. Like, you know. It's a good comfort show. It's very funny. I think it ages better than a lot of adult animation shows. And also, not that this matters in terms of comedy quality, but a lot of country music comes up on the show, which is, you know,
it's true.
Cool for us as people doing this sort of thing.
There's like, you can tell that Mike Judge is like a huge music fan.
Yeah.
Not only if you just already know Tales of the Tour Bus, which we've mentioned so many times, you know, on the pod, but like, yeah, he like has, you know, Tom Petty doing voiceover, Loretta Lynn doing voiceover for mm-hmm. characters, you know,
Tammy Wynette. And then, you know, Willie plays himself, and there's the episode where they go to the country music festival and they get Randy Travis to be an absolute like dirtbag.
A real Randy travesty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a regular Randy travesty, you might say.
Hey, can I buy these cigarettes? I'm nude. I also I just crashed a car about 4 blocks away and decided to flee the cops by stripping nude and then going to buy cigarettes.
Hey, it worked for a minute.
At least he got the smokes. That's money in prison.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's currency.
That's his way of going to the currency exchange. He's well,
I know what's coming.
I know what's coming. I better get some smokes.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our artist and song of the week, I just want to remind everybody that we have a Patreon page. If you would like some bonus episodes, or you just feel like you want to help out a little DIY show out of the goodness of your sweet little country hearts, you can go to patreon.com/takethispod. You'll get access to bonus episodes, merch discount codes. Danny and I write essays. There's behind the scenes looks, all sorts of real fun stuff. And just last week, we put out a new episode that was super fun to do. And if you're a trivia nerd like us, I sincerely think you'll like it. We had our buddy Tyler Jackson, who, of course, if you know Danny from Late Late Breakfast, you also know Tyler Jackson from lately. It's one of the best shows.
Oh, the two-headed beast.
You know? Of all time in comedy. Yeah, I mean, truly, it's so good. Yeah, so if you're a longtime Maupin fan, you know Tyler Jackson also. But he writes trivia for money. Some of us are jumping in the river. He's writing trivia. And he regaled us, quizzed us with some of his original trivia questions, and that's on the Patreon right now, and it was a lot of fun.
Right. So. No, it was so much fun, and I was really proud of both of us for the stuff that we could actually figure out, because
you know
Tyler's crazy brain. He's Tyler crazy. Jackson is just an insane man.
Yeah.
Like, just with so much weird niche knowledge and everything. So I was proud of us. I will say, not to, like, you know, ruin or spoil the episode, go to the Patreon and check it all out. But we passed. I won't tell you what grade we got, but we did pass. We technically passed.
If it were a test, technically we passed.
right.
Percentage-wise.
We weren't winning the bar tab that night, but
Definitely not.
Well, we have lives to live. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
I like to go outside. You know,
but yeah, it's super fun. So if you're into that, definitely, even for just a month, check out the Patreon, see if you like it. We would appreciate your support. And that again is at patreon.com/takethispod.
Check it out. Just check it out. It's just, you type in one website and then you look around and you're like, hey, why not?
See if you like it.
Yeah. Just check it out.
You've got time at work. Come on.
You absolutely do.
You totally do. In fact, if you don't make some time, your boss doesn't deserve that much of you, you know?
Right. That's true.
So, having gotten that little commercial out of the way, let's get into why we're here today. We're talking rising star and one of the most interesting, eclectic country Americana folk singers of the moment. And that's really saying something, because there's a lot of really great artists on the rise right now. But we're talking Ciara Ferrell. The song we're going to add to our ongoing public playlist is sort of a curveball for Ciara Ferrell, because it's not from her critically acclaimed debut album that came out, you know, a couple years ago, but it is from a John Anderson tribute album, and it's the song Years. So we'll mostly probably talk about her single LP that's out, because it is great. But I got to be honest, this cover that she does, Years, it's one of my most listened to songs of the last year. I have been like streaming it nonstop. It's one of the ones I just can't shake. And I'm always excited to hear it again. It's just so interesting and weird. And it's like dark, but it's like hopeful. And she has a real fun time with it.
Right. No, absolutely. It's actually the first song you introduced me to Ciara, and I honestly just like a few days ago. And so I've been listening a lot to like really dig in and see what this is all about. And like you said, incredibly eclectic, but also the song Years is, it's been an earworm for me, because you're totally all like spot on when like you kind of don't know how to feel how you listen to it or what you're going to feel like when you hear it. At any different time, like if you hear it several times, you're going to still feel a little different. You're going to pick up a little Easter egg here or there that like changes the mood of the song, I feel like. But the whole thing is beautiful, well executed, and God damn it. She's got a voice on her.
Yeah, she's got a cool voice.
A very cool voice. Yeah, it's not like the best voice in the world, but it certainly ain't lacking anything. You know, I don't mean that as like a dig. Like, it's a beautiful voice. It's like a perfect blend of like Dolly and Loretta Lynn.
I have also thought that. Yeah, she has got, she's from West Virginia.
Right.
And even though her musical influences span a ton of different eras and also regions, she sounds like she's from West Virginia just in her voice alone, right?
She's got a mountain voice.
She's got a mountain voice. Yeah, definitely. And so she's got some of that Dolly in her. She's got some of that holler like that Loretta Lynn has. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. And for like the styles that she's occupying, her voice like fits in so perfectly, but also it stands out amongst other country musicians, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and of course, if you listen to this show, you know our thoughts on country. It's a massive genre that expands all sorts of sounds and nuances and everything. And no disrespect to, you know, other people in country music right now, but I feel like, especially on the radio, there's sort of a, dare I say, there's sort of a derivativeness sometimes. There's a lot of people, I think, that are kind of just doing a Kacey Musgraves impression. There's a lot of people that are kind of doing a Miranda Lambert impression. And even though we could say Sierra Farrell reminds us of Dolly, Sierra Farrell just sounds like Sierra Farrell.
That's right. I mean, totally. Because like Dolly does have her bluegrass in her. And there's plenty of, you know, bluegrass songs Dolly's done or whatever, but it's not what she's known for. That's not 9 to 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so that's what I love about the blend of it is it's kind of mountain music in general. It is just pure, like, to me, it sounds so much like Appalachia. You know, it's like the sounds I grew up with, whether I wanted to or not, but they're so comforting and nice to me now. And like, and I love, and just reminds me of a place where I grew up, which was beautiful and nice. And that was like what the community was about playing music together.
Mm-hmm.
So it really tugs on my heartstrings in that way, but she's kind of still doing it in her own way. It's not like Willie Carlisle, where we're going all the way back to old timey music, but it's pulling it a little bit forward, but in a good way, I think. Like, it's still respecting the roots.
Totally. Yeah, she's blending genres. And, you know, I looked up some reviews of albums and I looked up some interviews and stuff. And that is one thing that is very consistent about the way people feel about her is that she's combining things together. Of course, the bluegrass influence is kind of at the forefront. It's very obvious. And there's also this like mountain country and Americana, but there's also like sort of this like New Orleans jazz feel. There is even, how did we put it when we were talking off mic? It's kind of this like 30s, like swing feel sometimes, like flapper kind of sound sometimes.
Yeah, it's like flapper / like Zydeco / country and bluegrass, like around the Depression. Like if it was all mixed together. You know?
Yeah, she's
or during Prohibition or something.
Sure,
like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah, she's pulling in older sounds like that.
It's and more then, Prohibition than Depression.
Yes, totally. Yeah. More drinking in secret during Prohibition than Depression era. Yeah, and I feel like I'm just going to put this out there. I saw this on multiple websites, but a lot of writers said that what she is incorporating sometimes is a genre that I did not know existed that is called gypsy jazz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know how we're supposed to feel about that, but just so you know, people are typing it.
it's not a word you're supposed to use anymore. But like there's like Go-Go Bordello. They're also listed as like just gypsy punk.
for sure. Well, I didn't bring it up to have a conversation about like language.
No, I get it. But
the evolution of language. But I thought I would, I mean, that genre has its own Wikipedia page and it's popularized by, you know, Jangar Reinhardt, who is a very famous guitarist. Right. And there's other names for it, like hot club style jazz and stuff.
It's actually Willie Nelson's favorite guitarist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you listen to interviews with Willie Nelson. He's like, yeah, my favorite guitar player ever is Django Reinhardt.
Yeah, I mean, I know Django Reinhardt. He's excellent. Yeah. But anyway, that's just to say, Sierra Farrell is very eclectic, and she has had a very nomadic life as well. Right. So it makes sense that she would kind of vibe in this sort of bohemian sort of genre, because her music is from all over the place.
She did a lot of busking, you know, another similar situation to like Willie Carlisle and, you know, other artists we've like not fully covered, but like Charlie Crockett and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's like soaking it all up while she's also doing it all. She's found a way to like, you know, carry on the things that she wants to turn into her music along the way across several borders of this great United States.
And I guess she was mostly based for a while outside of West Virginia. She was based in Seattle and New Orleans, but busked in between and like literally took rail cars and stuff. Yeah. And it was like hopping trains. From her website, it says that she left home, West Virginia being her home, in the early 20s to journey across the country with a troupe of nomadic musicians, playing everywhere from truck stops to alleyways to freight train boxcars.
That's also like very Blaze Foley.
Yeah, she just wanted to, just have a life, an untethered, unbridled life, and just see what was out there. Yeah, she's lived in a van. She's busked all over the place, like we said. And then she landed in Nashville and apparently was on fire immediately. Like by the time she showed up in Nashville with all this skill from busking and like Absolutely. All these different influences, and she was so unique that she was a really hot commodity right away.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's like, what is it? The old man in the sea? What is that? The quote from that? I'd rather be ready than lucky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. That is exactly from that book. Yeah.
And like Nashville takes a lot of luck or whatever too. Yep. But if you're ready, you're closer to the luck. And so it makes sense. Yeah.
There's a quote from Sierra Farrell that I'll just read verbatim, because better than me trying to paraphrase it. But she says, I want my music to be like my mind is all over the place. I listen to everything from bluegrass to techno to goth metal, and it all inspires me in different ways that I try to incorporate into my songs and make people really feel something. I think that tracks.
it totally makes sense. Yeah. Because like, even though she is mostly acoustic with her material and everything like that, she's got some stuff that drives as hard as metal does, but it's like, it's bluegrassy. It's boot stomping. It's like not metal, but it's like, man, you could tell everybody playing in that band could be the next fucking Iron Maiden or something.
Yeah. Well, and you know, she has the acoustic. I mean, all right. I don't know who's, I'm trying to think of even the guitarist I want to compare him to, the John Petrucci, the Steve Vai, the Yngwie Malmsteen. She plays with Billy Strings, who is
the
god of metal on acoustic guitar, basically.
Totally true. Yeah.
Yeah.
He rules
he shows up on one of her songs, The Bells of Every Chapel, which is one of my favorite songs.
It's one of mine too. Yeah. Album. It's going to be one of my recs later. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Yeah.
I swear the bells in every chapel will ring in the day that I'm with you. They bring in so clear.
Yeah, you can tell she, I think, surrounds herself with talented people. I mean, that's obvious from the fact that she also tours with people like Willie Carlisle, who, of course, we love, and Jamie Wyatt, who we've also done an episode on, and the Cactus Blossoms. And yeah, she knows what's up, it seems.
It's like the thing when you like, you know, it's almost like high school and just like any time in entertainment. It's like you want to bring up the class that you're in. If you get a little opportunity to like bring up that class, I'm sure they ran into each other, became all friends. And then they're like, one of them got an opportunity and was like, well, hey, come on with me. You know, it's like the right thing to do. I respect that very much. She's got good taste and she's got a platform to use it.
Totally. Yeah. Right now she is one album into her 3-album deal with Rounder Records, and she earned that record deal purely based on the strength of her live shows, based on what I've read. And before she was even like done with this album, she'd gotten a lot of attention from notable people in music. In fact, I found this weird, mostly poetic account written by Todd Snyder.
Okay.
From 2014. And you know, Todd Snyder, he's a country hippie.
He's out there.
He's out there. Yeah. He's
great.
Redneck. Yeah, he's so good. We love Todd. Yeah. He's like a redneck hippie. He's a nomad. He's always, you know, checking out new artists, and he's always on the road and telling stories and hearing stories and stuff like that. Well, anyway, he runs into Sierra Farrell and her nomadic group of pals and musicians in 2014. And he says he finds them literally like hopping train cars or like waiting on a train to jump into.
But the question for me is like, this is Todd Snyder. You've made a living through music. Like you're somehow sustaining your lifestyle. You probably have a decent house and you're all good to go. Why were you at the train station?
Yeah, I was trying to make sense. The thing that he wrote was not extremely clear, the whole thing, but it seems like he might have been watching these people busk while they were waiting to, you know, get out of town all over again. And he hears Sierra Farrell sing, and he says that she was so good that he called his wife up and he's like, "Hey, can we have this girl over for dinner? she's like gonna be somebody."
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. And so, he just runs into a bunch of crust punks and he winds up encountering Sierra Farrell like 5 years before anybody else would like even know how great she was. Just so funny.
Honey, gonna have to put some water in the coleslaw. We got company coming over. Sorry, I don't know why I'm trying to turn that into my recurring bit now.
I mean, you've got a lot of you're a man of catchphrases. So.
I do about 3 weeks of each one, and then find a new one.
So another thing, have you listened to this? Is a live album from Tyler Childers, the Live on Red Barn Radio 1 and 2.
Oh, Red Barn Radio. I mean, I know everything about Red Barn Radio. That's just outside of Lexington, Kentucky, about, you know, halfway to Richmond. It's right there. It's right there where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Childers has a live album from 2018. Yeah. So it came out between Purgatory and Country Squire. And on it is a song called Charleston Girl. And the rumor is, it has never been confirmed, but the rumor is that this song is about Sierra Farrell.
Oh, because she's from Charleston, West Virginia?
Yeah, or thereabouts, yeah.
Or, around the way.
So, no one's confirmed it, but that's the hot goss, you know, on the scene, I guess. So, if that's true, that would go to further accentuate the point that, like, Sierra makes an impression. And I got one more example for you.
Right.
And this is, I think, also alleged, I'll have to say alleged. The source I read claimed it as truth, but I couldn't find anything to confirm it. But allegedly, when Sierra, it was announced that she was going to release an album, Sturgill Simpson was just hanging out at live shows in Nashville, wanting to be her producer. He was trying to earn the spot of producer. Yeah. She didn't wind up going with him. She went with somebody else who's worked in the industry for a long, long time. And, you know, that's fine. The album is excellent. But I mean, it's funny to think even Sturgill was like, okay, I gotta get on this train.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's something. Let's give him something to talk about. You know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it does. It does make sense. Like, well, that, you know, West Virginia and Kentucky mentality they're very similar. I mean, they're bordering states. You know, to get to the biggest cities in West Virginia outside of getting up to like Pennsylvania or something like that, you're like 2-2.5 hours away. So everybody goes back and forth. And it's, you know, mountain towns and stuff. It's fun. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess, of course, you can edit whatever of this out you want. I'm going on a little weird rant. But, like, it's not even a rant, I guess. But the fact that, like, I don't know. I think people that, like, see people doing well from West Virginia and Kentucky really support them hard for whatever they're going to do. And it turns out some of the best talent in the country.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was actually thinking about this. I mean, I know that she's West Virginia, not Kentucky, but we might have talked about more Kentucky artists than anybody else. Like, if we're going by state.
It really puts the numbers up. Like, the stats are there. There's mm-hmm. so much. There's a lot of Texas. There's a lot of Tennessee. There's a lot of Mississippi, of course. But there's so much Kentucky.
Kentucky, they make a strong musician, I guess.
Yeah, because that's what you do. So you go out there and you work in the fields, you fucking chop some wood, and then you start barbecuing and playing music. Pretty cool life.
It's a pretty cool life. Sounds yeah. pretty all right.
Yeah. yeah.
So something else about Sierra Farrell, and I'm hesitant to even bring it up, but I do want to say that I feel like she also presents in sort of this like bohemian punky way that you don't see mm-hmm. a lot in.
Yeah, she's got like a septum piercing.
Yeah, and she has face tattoos,
yeah. But that's also like, I think that comes from like the crust punk lifestyle.
Totally, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think it's really cool because there's a lot of, and I mean, everything has its place, you know, but there's a lot of country and you find, I think this is way more often the case, a lot of like clean cut, like perfect makeup kind of country, you know, like the perfect t-shirt or button up that doesn't look expensive, but it cost a lot of money to look that cheap, you know, that sort
right,
of thing.
Right, right, right.
And then Sierra Farrell just like...
Just get it at the thrift store, idiots.
I know.
If you want it to look cheap and used, get it cheap and used. It's like right there.
Yeah. But then Sierra just... I mean, she has like fascinating outfits that sometimes are like very hippie, sometimes like very... cowgirl, sometimes like seemingly to almost be like a parody of like a uh-huh. cowgirl outfit, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I feel like she just has like such a cool look and it adds to her authenticity.
Oh, right. I feel like she dresses yeah. for her mood for the day. Which kind of way are we going to go tonight? We're going to go a little more Western swing. We're going to do some waltzes. We're going to do, you know, some mm-hmm. hard rocking hillbilly magic. What are we gonna do? I mean, that's what I like to do. It's like, what kind of night do I want? Do I want to be a rocker, or am I gonna be all full on Canadian tuxedo?
Because do I want to wear the blue denim jacket or the black denim jacket?
What right, do I exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which plaid shirt
will I wear? Yeah, a flannel, or will I wear plaid with the pearl snaps? What will I do?
You're saying it's speaking to her authenticity because, like, we've already talked about how she is kind of very cross-genre, but very deep, really rooted in like American music, Americana, country, bluegrass, you know, all of that. But with a love of rock and everything. So it's like, she's not Elton John putting on like a duck costume or anything like that, but she's going to dress how she
but
wants
to. But she could pull it off if she wanted
yeah.
to. There's no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to dress how she wants to based on how she feels because she has felt all those things.
Yeah. Like if you check out her Instagram, she's a great Instagram follow, by the way. But if you check out her Instagram, you can see through like the variety of, you know, outfits that she incorporates into her, like, her performances, you know, it's truly always so different, but she's always so confident. And I think that like, what's the phrase for this? That quiet confidence also comes mm-hmm. through in her music, right? Because it's very self-assured. It's very interesting. And even her album, Long Time Coming, that is a confident title, you know?
Right.
She might as well have named the album It's About Damn Time, right?
Right, right. Well, it's crazy because it's also like a, you know, like a double meaning too, because it's a long time coming because that's her first ever release, really.
Yeah.
She'd been doing music for a long time through, you know, the busking and playing clubs mm-hmm. and stuff. But then also she had to shelf it for like a year because of COVID. So it's like, even it's like, this is, I thought this was about to go. Now it's even going to be a longer time coming, basically.
Is so, that what happened? Is the album was supposed to come out in like 2020 instead of 2021?
They recorded in like January of 2020. So like right before, you know, pandemic okay. like really took everything away. And a very smart move. It could have been released, but then you can't tour to support it. And she's such a fantastic live act.
Right. I mean, she got the deal based on her live shows. So
right. How do you now? You can't do one without the other. So you just have to wait.
I guess the wait paid off because she's showing up on other people's records quite often now. Also, she seems at this point to have universal acclaim from fans and critics. I mean, even on publications that honestly I mostly disagree with, but you know, like Pitchfork even gave her album 7.6, which I guess is high for Pitchfork. I don't know, but
that's like an A plus for Rolling Stone or something like that. That's 5 stars for Rolling Stone. Pitchfork is listen. I know you're based out of Chicago, Pitchfork. I love you. You know, thanks for putting on the music festival.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, they do Pitchfork Music Festival there every year too, and I've seen some amazing bands at that. But good God, do you have to be such smug fucking dickheads? You don't have to be rude. Like, what art are you making? I want to hear your band, critic. You know, like, I'm getting fired up about it because, like, they're pricks, dude. They suck. They're, like, assholes. And it's just for people, like, putting something out that they feel is honest and good to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've never had anything, reviewed by them. So I'm not personal. But I take it personal for other artists. I'm like, I really like this album. What'd you give it, a 4.5? Why? You know?
And I feel like if the band is just like a little, like if it's like a rock band or a punk band, that's just like, you know, a little off kilter, like just not like perfectly, you know, indie or like hip.
Right.
They're doing their own thing. Pitchfork always gives them like a 4 or 5 or less. And it's like, oh, you just don't get it. You didn't understand it because it wasn't, I don't know, whatever. It wasn't Big Thief. Yeah. I like Big Thief too, but you know, like.
Yeah. It's because you haven't left your standing desk in 16 hours. Sorry. I'm free for like Pitchfork reviewing this podcast. I'm sure we'll get a good 2.5 stars or something like that. Mm-hmm. But guess what? We're talking music just like you are. But we happen to actually like it. Why are you hiring people that don't like music?
Yeah, I don't know how. I wonder if critics get assigned based on music that they know about, or if it's kind of like, you know, so-and-so is their specialties indie pop, or their specialty is like rap, and they get assigned like, do this metal album, or they get assigned like, do this country album. Well, I don't know if that's actually what happens, but if it is, no wonder albums are getting like insane reviews. Also, Pitchfork puts out like every like 5 years, they'll be like, okay, here's the stuff we got wrong. And they reissue ratings.
Right.
And it's like, well, maybe if you weren't such a snob the first time, you wouldn't have given Liz Phair such a low album rating when Liz Phair rocks 100% of the time.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they really shoot from the hip there at Pitchfork. That's for sure. Yeah. They're like, oh, nope, no proofreading. Let's go.
Yeah.
Listen to it once, write it down. Let's go.
Right. That being said, good for Sierra Farrell. You got a good review from this publication that doesn't always treat.
They are not nice.
Yeah. They don't. I mean, like when they always release like their top 100 songs of the year, I'll like, you know, I'm curious. I try to understand, you know, what I'm missing by not listening to the radio or whatever. And usually I'm like, these songs are so boring. These songs are repetitive. This song feels like a sample of a better song. Or it like literally is often a sample of a better song from the 70s, you know, or whatever.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
But anyway, glad she got a good review. And I think Paste also gave her a great review.
Paste I really respect. I read Pitchfork to get pissed off, and then I read Paste to be like, okay, cool. I was right.
I was right, actually. Very cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see what she has next. I just saw an interview. Not an interview. I just read an article about an Americana like festival, like a charity fest that had a bunch of people from like Oh Boy on it, and then Sierra Farrell was on it also. And I think everybody only did like 2 songs or 3 songs for their sets. But the reporter said that Sierra Farrell did 2 new songs from her upcoming album. And the reporter, who I assume is on the beat of country music, said that it's like 2 of the best songs by her that he had heard yet, or they had heard yet. And I'm like, well, great. I can't wait for this new album. And it makes sense because I feel like in the snippets of things I've heard, even since her first album, whether it's been her being a feature on other people's albums or it's been, you know, the song Years or other tribute performances, she's like only getting stronger.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she's like, I think, starting to show the other chops that she has and everything. And like, mm-hmm. and expand more, but like keep it more like exactly what she wants to do. And it's really fun, like listening to hear, like you've said, some of that New Orleans jazzy slash country slash like True Blood soundtrack kind of, you know, gothic totally. Country stuff.
That, yeah, there's some of that there too, for sure.
And then also just like straight bluegrass, a couple of just like upbeat country tunes. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, and apparently from everything I've read, like an amazing live performer, just like blows the doors off, like Barry's headliners.
Dude, I bet. I mean, I don't know what the story is with her like full band, but I'm sure that she has got just assassins working with her, you know, because her music is often so complicated because bluegrass is not easy to play.
No, it's not. Yeah.
And jazz is not easy to play. And she's combining mountain music and jazz together pretty consistently, but then also she's incorporating horns and sounds that, like you said, are like more southern gothic and sounds that are of, you know, almost 100 years ago. And I mean, that takes skill to be that diverse.
That,
you know,
definitely takes,
that's
skill.
Not three power chords or whatever.
No, not at all. That's not, listen, I love,
needless to say,
I love punk and I love all that stuff. And that's, you know, for the most part, generally pretty basic, mm-hmm. but yeah, what she's doing is not basic, but it's so perfect that like you have the skill to do that and make it digestible, because it could just be a hodgepodge that nobody will understand. Yeah. But it's turned into songs that are like listenable. It could be unlistenable to try to combine all that stuff.
Totally, know? Yeah, it definitely could.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are people who are making unlistenable music that I'm sure we have not heard.
Every day. Yeah.
Speaking of Nirvana, before Sierra got into, you know, embraced her bluegrass roots and started busking and everything, Nirvana was one of the first bands that got her into music.
Oh, really? Read.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's only a year older than I am. And so, yeah, it like makes sense. Her first exposure to music was like 90s rock and grunge and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's some of my favorite stuff too. Ooh-wee. Mm-hmm. I love listening to some Pavement, some Nirvana.
Yeah.
All that shit.
I especially get into it. Well, Pavement and Nirvana are very different, but I like Nirvana or something like kind of sludgy or harsh. Love it on a winter day. Pavement to me feels like a summer band though. But
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Pavement's got songs that like drift a little bit into country, even themselves. You know? Range Life. Check that one out, folks.
Yeah. Range Life is really good.
Yeah.
Anyway. So she's got this album, Long Time Coming, which we'll recommend some songs from it, but it's only 12 tracks. I would say just listen to the whole album. It's a very worthwhile 40 minutes, you know, of your time. It really goes all over the place. I mean, just the starting song, the opening track, which is this song called The Sea. Sounds like nothing else on the entire album.
It's so good.
But yet is like a perfect opening, because it kind of, it's hard to pin down what genre it is, almost as if it's a thesis statement for the rest of the album. Like, yeah, you're not going to know what's going on. Just like go track by track. Right. Have a good time.
It has like country elements, but it's very, very like voodoo-y and Southern Gothic. And like, I think, is that the one that even has like the saw playing in it? We talked about the saw last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's got that going through like a little like echo pedal. So it's eerie sounding. And then all of a sudden gets a little dancey. And then, but it's like weird, dark, fun vacation music, it seems like. And then the album continues on. It's like, well, wait, what, that track's, the next track's not the same, you know?
Jeremiah is like straight up bluegrass. Sounds nothing like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You forgot about the sweet tooth and the promises you said you do. She's gonna put you back up on the shelf. She does better by herself.
Yeah. Also, it took me a couple listens to really notice this, but it's so funny that it's a country song, or we'll call it a country song, where she is invoking the the god Poseidon. Like, how many country songs are evoking mythical gods? Not that
it's
many,
true.
Probably.
No. And I think it's cool. That's another, like, a part of the enigma of, like, how that song kicks off the album, too. Because it is so catchy. And it's got horns. Yeah. It's got a little bit of Spanish feel, too, and everything, too. Mm-hmm, with Tejano totally. Sound. Really comes down to it. It is an Americana song. But the execution, it's – I feel like it's something – like, if you did go – we talked about New Orleans a lot. But if you went to a New Orleans bar and they were going to be doing, like, a dinner show, it would be, like, the overture. Be like, mm-hmm. It's going to be a little spooky. It's going to be a little fun. You might do a little bit of dancing. Anyway, let's get this begun. Mm-hmm. and then the rest of the album kicks off in all different directions.
And if you've heard any song of Sierra Ferrell's, you've probably heard the standout single, which is called In Dreams. That's like buried deep in the album. That's track 10, almost at the end.
Right. That's not usually where you put the single.
Yeah. Though I think it fits just fine there, even though it's a very accessible song, even though it's still kind of genre blending. But it's somewhere between being like a folk country love song.
Right.
But it's still hard to pin down what it is because it doesn't just have that classic, you know, G, C, G, C, D, G structure or whatever, you know, like there's like riffs to it and it's got a very interesting melody. And there's parts where her voice doesn't say any words, but just kind of oohs and ahs. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a really pleasant song.
Oh yeah. I mean, she's easy on the ears. Not too bad on the eyes either, if you know what I'm going to say. I'm a redhead and a cowboy hat. Come on, don't tempt me with a good time. It's like somebody just honked in the background. They're like, hell yeah. I mean, I think people of all sexualities, genders, whatever, I think they all appreciate a redhead and a cowboy hat.
It's the universal.
Yeah, that's the constant.
Yeah, right. Well, let's get into the song of the week then. So, like we said, Years is the name of the song. It is a cover by John Anderson. And we have not done an episode on John Anderson yet, but we did bring him up one time. And it was on
We refuse to do, you know, episodes on people with two first names.
No two first names. Also,
yeah, can't
there's
do that.
There's a bunch of other famous John Andersons. I mean, it is like it's such a simple name that it's like, oh yeah, sure, what a genuine regular name for a country singer. But there's also like a famous actor named John Anderson that was in like some Hitchcock films. And there's also a John Anderson in the band Yes. So,
oh god. Now that's a band I like to say no to. Honestly.
Well, you know what? You're the owner of a lonely heart. So
yeah, I mean, they got a couple of tunes, you know, but man, I can't handle them.
They sometimes, you know what? They could trim some fat, but.
Yeah, that's right on point. There's a lot of fat in the band, Yes.
That's some of those 18-minute tracks, yeah.
Right.
That's coming from a prog rock fan, but anyway.
Yeah, like you like that stuff. Fucking weirdo.
John Anderson, the country singer, is the opposite of prog rock. He is actually one of the dudes at the forefront of the new traditionalist movement. And this is something we've brought up a few times. It's not a genre we've featured much on our show, though I'm sure we'll get to it. But new traditionalist, it's like it's in the late 80s mostly when folks like George Strait, Clint Black, early Reba, trying to think of some others. People like that.
Randy Travis.
Yes, definitely Randy Travis. Yeah, he's who I was trying to think of. In response to like the rock and roll nature of outlaw country, you know, the pendulum always swings and the new traditionalist movement was born to get back to the roots of Merle and George Jones and stuff like that. And so a lot of great artists have come out of that, and it's totally different style, which of course the pendulum swings again and we get, you know, Garth Brooks and Shania later and everything. But John Anderson in the late 70s was kind of really early into this movement, and he didn't have any major hits until like the late 70s, early 80s. But he's one of those guys, and he kind of paved the way for more household names like a Randy Travis, for example. And this album,
I just always laugh when you say Randy Travis, because I just always remember the fact that he got arrested trying to buy cigarettes in the nude. It's I'll never forget that. Like, might be my dying words.
It's an all-timer. It's an all-time antic is that Randy. Yeah. Those
friends and family gathered around my deathbed, and I'm like, we didn't.
I gotta tell you a story, not my own.
Randy Travis got arrested for buying cigarettes in the nude. Flatline. Beep. He's gone. He's gone.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, John Anderson is not as famous as some other folks. Oh, what I was going to say, sorry, getting ahead of myself, skipping ahead. The one other time we brought him up was he does that song Haunted House that sounds like Yakety Sax.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked about him on our Halloween episode. But that song, right. Let's be real, that song really isn't very good. But he has a lot of good songs.
Yeah.
And I think it really comes through on this tribute album that came out just this last year called Something Borrowed, Something New, a tribute to John Anderson. And it's got a John Prine song on there, so it must have been one of the last songs Prine recorded. But it's also got Nathaniel Rateliff. It's got Tyler Childers on it. Sturgill Simpson is on it. It's got Ashley McBride and a bunch of other good folks. And, of course, Sierra Farrell's cover of Years.
That's good company to be in right there.
I'd say
sure.
So.
I mean, especially for my musical tastes, you're nailing it.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, their covers are really good. So I do recommend this album. I mean, I didn't come up on our top five of 2022 review, and I wasn't sure how to think of it because it's a compilation album instead of a studio, but I've listened to it a lot. It's, you know, there's a couple songs that are skips for me, but Shoot Low Sheriff, the Tyler Childers version.
Well, you better shoot low sheriff. You might be calling, got a big load of booze that could soon be a haul.
Seminole Wind, which is, that may be one of the songs you know from John Anderson is Seminole Wind. The Luke Combs cover is really good. Sturgill song is good. And then another one of his most famous songs, Straight Tequila Night by Ashley McBride, is her cover is excellent. So it's a worthwhile album.
Don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him. Then she's ready to fight.
Having said all that, I think Years is the best song on this album. It rules.
I really love it. And I love Sierra's execution of it, the band's execution of it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, like we touched on before. Yeah. The different settings you listen in it to, the different moods you're in when you listen, it'll find a way to make you feel something a little different each time. And, you know, you can feel wistful and regretful. You can feel just like happy for where you're at. In the different mood, you can, it's just talking about how time is not going to stop. So it's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Basically, how are you going to feel? It's an open-ended question, you know, of a song. And so it's up to you. And that's really hard to do as a songwriter. So good on John Anderson. It's also amazing to change how that was delivered for Sierra. you know, like how they did it. So fantastic.
Yeah. And Years is the title track from John Anderson's 2020 album. And whereas, and I do like his cover also, or I mean, I like his original version of the song, but whereas his is sort of this power ballad-esque, like, dirge,
right,
that is kind of, you know, sort of a reflection on how a lot of his contemporaries in the industry have passed away, and he's getting older, he's got less gas in the tank, luckily he's got kids and they get to keep living and all that. And I mean, it's a beautiful song, and it's got a rock element to it, which is cool. I feel like Sierra's is, it's a literal boot stomper. You hear stomping in the song,
right,
and it's, yeah, got a bit more like sway, and it's got jangle to it that his does, mm-hmm, not. And there's also just a lot of really cool percussion. Like, is it literally like an anvil being banged in it or something?
It sounds like it. It almost sounds like a chime, but like, it's definitely not. Like, if it's a chime,
right,
like a bell,
it's like
chime,
lower or something.
It's,
yeah,
not a well-tuned bell chime. But
yeah,
I don't want to get into the nerdiness that I know about that. On how to tune a bell chime.
Oh, but our little drum tech over here. But yeah, I think the song is good as it is, but Sierra's cover really elevates it and turns it into something that I think you could get into even if you're not a country fan. Because I kind of feel like if I showed the original, for example, that has sort of this, at a point, like an overdriven guitar part, and it kind of like has like a arena country feel for a moment. Not that that's, uh-huh, bad necessarily, but I think it would be, some people might kind of brush it off like, ah, it's not really for me. But I think the Sierra Ferrell version is very accessible. I mean, I've got my girlfriend obsessed with it also. And I mean, she is forced to listen to country music via me. But a lot, right, of times when I'm playing stuff, she doesn't keep playing it on her own. And this is one of those songs where like, she's throwing on Sierra's Years and jamming out to it also. There's just something a bit, it's got more pep in the step. I don't really know what it is, because it's still sad. But it's also, there's something just, I don't know, uniquely good about it.
Right.
I feel like that's a dumb sentence. Those are dumb.
It's not a dumb sentence. But like, you and I both like grew up like in, you know, areas that played a lot of bluegrass and stuff like that. So I feel like it's very bluegrass in a lot of stuff. I feel like that's mostly the roots. So that's just so comfortable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so nice that there's no way I couldn't like it. And then on top of it, she has a fantastic voice with a great backing band that, mm-hmm, plays all kinds of fucking instruments and does amazing harmonies. And she's a great lyricist. So it's like, how do you not? And apparently, from what I've heard, an amazing live performer. I just looked up the fact that she's going to be here in Denver in April. And it's already sold out.
Already sold out. Yeah. Months in advance.
Like, how am I supposed to do that? So any of my pals at the Ogden, I know I got a couple, shoot me a couple of ticks.
Help a guy out, would you?
Yeah, yeah. I want to see this band. Why?
Yeah. You want to hear a little bit of John Anderson's version of Years before?
Yeah. Let's give it a whirl. Yeah. Hands.
Well, here's what we'll do. We don't normally play a version of the song for Smothered and Covered, but we might as well jump into it. It's Smothered, right, and Covered now. We talk about the covers of the song. In this case, we're just talking about the original version of the song.
Right. Yeah, this is the cover.
Yeah, this, like, is the cover.
But this is the John Anderson original.
Yeah, this is the
Anderson. We're reviewing the cover.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's like got a sad,
it's got a little, hello. Everybody,
yes.
Oh, is it me you're looking for? Just a measure of time, playing with your mind, passing you by those years. Look around, up and down, they're nowhere to be found. Like the wind.
It's also got that.
Yeah.
It's got that classic chord progression that, yeah, a lot of like. Geez, I should have prepared this already to have like, it's got those four chords that are used all the time where it starts on the minor.
Right. You know? Yeah. And it's like, it's not bad, but like, it totally matches your description from before. Yeah.
Well, like, then wait till we get to a little bit later.
Oh yeah.
Guitar solo.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's meant to sound epic, and I guess it accomplishes that. And I don't mean to, it's a bit, I don't know, I don't want to call it campy or something. Sierra's is very acoustic.
No, music. I would like say a barn campy.
Jam. And this is like, it's got like a guitar solo, and then there's like an orchestra behind it going like, bum, 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 bum. Like, it's like kind of cinematic. Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were trying to put this on a movie soundtrack for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like, which, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum, as you like to say, Tyler. I will say, I'm not yumming it.
Yeah, it's a different feel. I think Sierra made the right move with it. I think it's also cool that on this tribute album, she didn't pick a standard classic. I mean, John Anderson has like almost like half a dozen number one hits, and she didn't pick one of those. She picked something from 2 years ago and transformed it.
Right. I think she maybe enjoyed that challenge of being like, hey, this is not going to be the same song once I'm done with it. Totally. It'll have the same words, but it won't be the same song. With me and my band, what we can do, well, I'll show you something, you know? Totally. And John Anderson, fantastic artist, silly guy, it seems like, too, after that Halloween song and all that.
To put a Yakety Sax style Halloween song on a regular studio album, that's a move. That's a move for sure.
That is, that's a bold move for sure.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, this is to make it your own. And it's my preferred version, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
So much better. It's like, because he's going for like that, you know, big Nashville overproduced arena country style in that song. Yeah.
And I think that album was actually produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys.
Oh, really?
So that's why it's got some of that like rock to it also.
Right. Yeah. 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 I understand the rock from that, but he's from Akron, Ohio. What the fuck's he doing trying to act with? He's doing a big Nashville sound. Anyway, but they were trying to make the production and the music on Jonathan Anderson's like version of the emotional part, when actually the lyrics are, and Sierra and her band had definitely made the lyrics stand out in a way, and also changed the arrangement of the song so that those lyrics actually popped, so that you did feel something instead of just feeling bass and drums like you're at an arena concert, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, normally when I'm listening to Sierra's version of Years, I'm in a pretty good mood and I'm kind of bopping along, but I'll be honest with you. I was over Christmas break. I was listening to it in the car driving to my grandparents' house, and
I started
to like tear up.
Oh man.
I was thinking about my old relatives and oh man, it got me for a second.
Yeah, it's about like how time doesn't stop. It's like, you know, it's like that. I listened to the Pink Floyd song Time a lot. And it's like the same sort of situation. It's like, well, shit, you realize that like you've wasted a bunch of time. But now what are you going to do? Are you going to do something about it? Or are you just going to keep on, you know, sitting home by the fire or something? It's also a story, I think, that says not the Pink Floyd song Time, but, you know, Years is reflecting and realizing that, yeah, maybe you had wasted some time. Maybe you had made some mistakes, but what are you going to, like, what can you do about that? There's more years to come too. So, and do you want to just like sit and think about those years for the longest time? You know, like, who wants to be the version of Bruce Springsteen's glory days? Where it's like, oh yeah, I was a good baseball pitcher, and now I hang out at this karaoke bar every night.
Yeah.
You know, remember them, love them, learn from them, grow. I think that's kind of what Sierra's version says to me. A lot more than Jonathan Anderson's version.
I'm with you on that. I think the tonal musical shift is benefits the message. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so we're going to add that to our public playlist.
Anyway. What, did I get heavy or something?
Oh, no, you're fine. I just don't have anything else to add philosophically to that. If you do, keep going.
Oh, no, it's just my interpretation of it. I'm not trying to be like philosophical or anything.
Oh, no, I'm just like, you're doing great.
Just saying what I appreciate about her version of Smothered and Covered, I guess.
Yeah, right, yeah.
She done covered the smother.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's why this song earns the spot on the playlist. I mean, out of all of her great songs and probably out of a number of covers that she's released, I think this is the one where, I mean, it's even different than what she does on her studio album, which is fully varied in sounds. But, you know, I think that she shows she's a great interpreter on this song. The song itself is like very touching. The music matches the lyrics, but there's a bit of sorrow, but it's mostly hopeful. It's a cool, complex song. And I think she makes it what it was supposed to be all along.
Yeah. It's a beefy five-layer burrito of a tune.
That's right.
Right there. Yeah. There's not just one ingredient.
Yeah, for sure. Having said all of that, I guess we should do some recs. I mean, there's not that many to offer up.
We could
basically just say the whole long-term coming album, but.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. But I do have some, I'm assuming we're going to have some overlap because of the limited catalog, I guess.
Almost certainly. But yeah, go ahead. What do you got? Shoot some at me.
From Long Time Coming. Jeremiah is a song that I really enjoy. And then that's the song, that's like track two, isn't it?
Yeah, Jeremiah is really good. I think that was one of the singles also.
Right. Yeah. That's one like you can hear her performing it on like Red Barn Radio, like we talked about earlier. A few other, you know, live appearances, like festival stuff. They put out compilations. So, you know, if you want to hear the regular version, listen to it on Long Time Coming, her album. But it's out there in several forms, especially on YouTube. Which is also, I'll go back to The Sea, which would be the first track on that album, right? Because it is so weird and Southern Gothic-y and kind of island tropicalness and all these weird kind of blends, but it's really dancey, but it starts out, I don't know how else to explain it other than it's like kind of swampy and fun and dancey and dark. And then we mentioned Billy Strings already, and we mentioned the song, I guess, already as well. Bells of Every Chapel.
Great song.
Featuring Billy Strings.
Killer guitar work on it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And then I'll do two more if that's okay.
And yeah, sure.
That's me cutting it down from like five more.
From the entire album to just half the album.
Yeah,
go for it. Let's see if you knock out all of mine. That's what I want to see.
A little, you know, it's kind of a wistful weeper. It's kind of a lost love, but also whatever. It's Whispering Waltz is the one I would say. And then the last one, At the End of the Rainbow, which is kind of like a call and response to Whispering Waltz in a weird way. Whispering Waltz seems to be very much a breakup song, seeing someone with a new love. And At the End of Rainbow seems to be a song being like, well, I'll still just be here. So when you're done with that, I'm around.
Yeah. Great. Those are all good ones. I mean, you can't find a bad song on that album, but those are all great
ones.
Yeah,
so good.
I'll add a couple that stuck out with me. I mean, you named a few of mine, but the song Silver Dollar,
I
thought was really great. It's like super fun. I love a song that just talks about being poor and being fine with it.
Right.
Because that's where I'm at right now in my own life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like all for it.
It's good to know that others are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I will also name the other waltz on the album, West Virginia Waltz.
So great.
A really good song.
And I almost said that one, but I knew you probably didn't pick Whispering Waltz.
I did not pick Whispering Waltz. I mean, I like it, but yeah. I didn't pick it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll just put this out there for fun. The band Shaky Graves has a song with Sierra called Ready or Not, and it's pretty fun. It's kind of a stomp and holler type thing, if that's what you're into. Yeah. But she does a great job on it, so I'll throw that out there as well. And that'll be all I have to say or add.
And you know, she shows up on a lot of like compilations, tribute albums, things like that.
She's all over the Spotify algorithm for like, you know, the Indigo playlist and like best new country, best new Americana, you know, bluegrass vibes or whatever.
So dive into that stuff. And, you know, because there's not a ton of material out there, but I think a lot more on the way. And
I think a new album might come out this year. I'm hoping. I would like it.
Yeah. It seems like it. I mean, they're ramping up for a big old tour that's pretty much already all sold out already.
Yeah, for real.
God damn it.
So cool. Well, anything else you need to add, or should we do our wrap down?
No, I mean, the only thing I'll add is that you brought up Sierra Farrell to me, and just kind of did a deep dive in the past few days, and thank you for it. And I hope that you guys appreciate it listening as well, because it's brand new to me and loved it. We'll continue to be a big fan.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, man. I mean, it's funny. Sometimes we do this to each other. We'll recommend something, and it's fun. It's fun when it works out and it's proof of concept of the podcast, because, you know, new or old, there's a lot of country and folk artists we've missed. And it's nice to be like, hey, check this person out. Maybe we can do them. And it's like, okay, I haven't heard of them, but let's see. And then you're like, oh no, we got to throw this on the playlist. This is so
good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You won me over for sure. Like, you know, I guess Sierra won me over right away. I was just like, oh shit, that voice.
I had little to it.
Here we go. But you suggested. I wouldn't have known about it. It would have never probably popped up on my radar. So thank you.
You're right. Pleasure's all mine. Well, that's enough. Thanks. For me, how about a thanks to all of you guys for listening? what a good transition. But seriously, thanks for listening to this episode of Take This Pod and Shove It. If you enjoyed it, we hope you'll share it with a friend, share the playlist even with a friend. Maybe that's a good way to try to, you know, get them onto the country side of things if you don't think they are. You can also, if you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast service you use. I know Apple and Spotify do a rating system, probably some others do as well. You can leave a review. That's super nice. And if you really want to help us out and show us some love, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/takethispod. We are always trying to do new and fun, weird stuff on the Patreon with episodes and, you know, our writing and stuff like that. And the more patrons we get, the more bonus episodes we are going to be releasing on the main feed and the bonus feed. So if you want more, that's how you can get yourself a bit more, is hop on the Patreon and check it out. Also, we are so thankful for you, and we've loved keeping up with you guys on the Patreon, and we hope you enjoy the behind the scenes looks and the messages we send you. So, but thank you for being on the Patreon if you already are. You can also follow us on Instagram at Take This Pod and Shove It. We post a lot of stories and fun stuff there. So that's a great way to keep up with us, even if you're not on the Patreon. And Danny and I are stand-up comedians. You can see us live and in person in our respective cities, and sometimes even beyond that. Real quick, I'd like to say that if you are in New York, I am going to be on the show Steve Martin Presents at Union Hall on February 6th. And if you are curious, it is not actually presented by Steve Martin. That is just a fun name to trick you. But you should come anyway, because it's an awesome show. It's hosted by Michael Good and SNL's Andrew Dismukes, who are fantastic comics. Martin Urbano is going to be on the show. It's a blast. So definitely come to that. That show will sell out for sure. That's February 6th. And then I've got a couple other shows in February. You can check my Instagram or tylersnodgrass.com for those dates. But I'll also be at one of my favorite shows, Life from Outer Space, on February 24th, a Friday. And that's in Brooklyn at the Cobra Club. So anyway, that's what's going on with me right now.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Yeah.
I currently am doing my Rascal thing, where I don't have any officially booked dates, but I'm doing a whole lot of pop-ins, baby. I'm like popping into shows like 3-4 nights a week. Getting like an 8-minute set, working out the new stuff.
Of course. You know? You got some new stuff. Well, you're King Rascal. Who could deny you a spot if you arrived?
But it will end up turning into several bookings. I've got some stuff coming up, but it's too far out to mention right now. You Denverites or anybody that wants to come check it out. I'll be posting everything, though, on www.DannyMoffin.com if you'd like to check that out. Or check me out at Danny Moffin on Instagram. I post everything usually on there too. But I'm around here, Denver. I'm in the Mile High for the next couple of months, slogging out the hardcore, doing the work, getting the stuff in, getting the reps in, polishing out the new stuff. So if you want to see a work in progress, which, that's a, you know.
That's my favorite Danny is Whip Danny.
Yeah, just going after it, throwing it all, the spaghetti at the wall. That's what I'm doing the next couple of months, which I'm looking forward to.
With that, I think that's all we've got to say for this week. But, you know, check out the Tyler Jackson trivia episode on the Patreon if you haven't yet. And we will see you next week with another new episode.
Bye-bye.
Take this pot and shove it.